Walking with God is an amazing thing. And people ask us, you know, you're involved in Ethiopia, what do you do? And it's a hard question to answer because I'm not sure. No. We're involved in church planting and have seen over the 25 years thousands of churches planted, and many right now are in the process, hundreds and probably thousands right now. And in the Orthodox religion of Ethiopia, the ancient church started small. Everything starts small, and then you water it and grow, and under the mighty hand of God, things move and go and happen. And so the Orthodox thing is just exploding into hundreds of thousands of their leaders and millions of their people coming to Christ right now. And then there's the church planting, Orthodox, Muslim, like it's just moving right now. And what I've learned and what I want to share this morning is just the simplicity of walking with God. And then my theme has become in my own life is under the mighty hand of God. I bow my knee to the Lord Jesus Christ in every aspect of life as best as I can. And the Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And that's a beautiful place to be, because under the mighty hand of God, things happen. But it's just in walking with God daily. It's just in the simplicity of faithfulness to God. And that's what's so necessary. And that's what I want to emphasize. Just a walk and the simplicity of walking with God. It's not like when we share, and if I took time to share some of the outstanding miracles that we see constantly there, people often ask, so, you know, why don't we see, maybe we should be seeing more miracles, whatever. I don't think so. We want to see miracles to see people converted and the door of the gospel open to new communities. But it's every place where a miracle happens, and I could, many places, it's always, the outstanding miraculous is always to open, like Peter going to Cornelius or Paul going to a city that was opposing him and opposing the gospel. And a miracle happened, and that opened the way for the gospel to be planted. And then it's just people coming to Christ who have to daily live for Christ. And the real life of living for Christ isn't miracles, it's walking with God. It's living for Christ. It's being faithful in your day, in your family, in your workplace. Just the simple life of walking and living. It's not miracle after miracle. And usually we see one thing happen to open it, and then it's just slug it out. Plant the church. Work for Christ. And then another miracle because another place is opening up. Not a miracle center and everything's now miracle. It's not. It's just life. And faithfulness in life is what we need. Faithfulness to God's truth. Faithfulness unto death. And just walking through life. And the Bible says, and I'll just make a few comments about it, but it says, what does God require of you? Love mercy. Do justice, which is a whole story in itself. Walk humbly with God. And what I've had the privilege of is walking with God, just walking with God and watching His faithfulness in our lives through the battles, through the challenges, through the good, through the bad, but just faithfulness. And I sit here this morning with three little grandchildren clamoring on my knee and putting their shoes on my black trousers so they get dusty and rejoice. It's such a rich treasure, life in Christ. So that's what I want to focus on. And just by introduction, the Bible says back in Genesis about a man named Enoch in Genesis chapter 5:22. It is, and I'll just quote it. He said about Enoch, and if you go back to that passage and if you took time, it mentions many people's lives. Many people, and it says they were born, they lived this many years, then they had children for this many years, and then they died. So they were born, they lived, and they died. They're born, lived, and died. And it goes on and on, a whole list of people. But then it comes to Enoch, And it says Enoch walked with God after he had fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Here's the thing. You can be like all the others in the list. You lived, you had children, you died. You lived, died. Or you can be like Enoch. He lived and he walked with God. And God took him. That's what I want for my life. Brian walked with God and God took him. Hallelujah. I like that idea. But Hebrews adds something to Enoch's story. It says in Hebrews 11, now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. Enoch walked with God. Enoch pleased God. Obedience to Christ. Walk with God under the mighty hand of God. That's where we want to live. Not just live and then die, but walk with God. That's what I want. Paul says in the New Testament, we make it our aim to please Christ. People have asked me, you know, why, including my relatives, especially the unsaved ones over the years, why would you do that? Like, why would you go to Zambia or Ethiopia or some foreign country? And the answer is really simple. Because Jesus wanted me to go there. That's it. And we were talking this week of, and kind of laughing at how foolish we actually were. Leonard was called to Tanzania, and Lori had to pack all her shoes in a suitcase. And one uncle asked him just before leaving, where's Tanzania? And he said, I don't know. Let's have a look at the map. And then a few years later, God called us to Zambia with our little kids. And the mission department said, we need you in Liberia. And I said, okay, where's Liberia? And look at the map. Then they said, oh, actually, it's changed. We need you in Zambia. Would you go there? Sure. Where's Zambia? And it seems silly, but it's actually not. It's very profound. And I know we could have been a little smarter, looked at the map a little earlier. But the principle is, I want to obey Christ in my life. And that's not just to go on mission or to pastor or... That's every one of us in every aspect of our life to walk with God under the mighty hand of God and see the fruit of that. If I had time to discuss it this morning, like one of the themes we've worked with in Ethiopia for years is everybody in their profession, in their life, come under that anointing and walk with God and do what you do with God's anointing, with God's grace, with God's wisdom, with God's empowerment. In the work you're doing, in the life you're living, wherever, however, and the whole body of Christ doing that makes the church, or would make the church, very effective. But just, he lived, he had children, and he died. Okay. Maybe your children will do something. That's not enough. Like, please God. Learn to please God and under the mighty hand of God and obedient to Him. And it's a wonderful, blessed place, fulfilling place, refreshing place to live. And Jesus says it like this, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Whoever has my commandments keeps them. It is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. And he goes on in John 14, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. That's a blessing. But it's contingent on keeping his commandments, loving his word, pleasing him in obedience to him, and under the mighty hand of God. And then he goes on to say in 14:24, whoever does not love me does not keep my words. So here we are. What is Christianity? Like, what is it? What's, and again, I'm just going to lay some simple foundations that are for life. This is not for new believers. It is for new believers. For old believers, it's for everybody. These truths are rich truths in God's word for your life, for my life. They're from birth to death truth. And to come into Christianity as a believer, you have to be born into it. Jesus said, you must be born again. And I know that phrase years ago was kind of bandied around and misunderstood and so on, but it's Jesus' words. You don't just join the church. And I guess what prompts me to say this is in this few months that we've been around Canada again, and it's the same any country, but we're here. I've been in situations where there's Christians who are in church, there's people in church, but they're really not in love with Jesus and in love with God. And they're trying. I could list some names, I won't, but they're about this, no. Especially one guy I have in mind from my old days. And he just, a few years ago, he said, you know, you saw what we're doing and you kind of like what's going on in terms of our family. And yeah, you know, we just got to start going to church, he said to his wife. And I thought, wow, that's beautiful. Yeah, we just got to do this. Like, so they started going to a church in their community. But that's all they did. They started going and they tried. But they weren't born again. There was no new creation, new nature, new life. So that's what I'm focused on. You can't just join and decide I'm going to try and do this. It's a better life than what they're doing out there. And let me give it a shot. Like, you have to be born again, Jesus said. There's a death that has to happen. And we'll talk about it briefly. There's a burial that has to happen. And then a resurrection, a new creation, a new birth to a new life. And that's what we want. That's what brings it alive in Christ and a new creation. And just trying is short. Jesus said this, and these are his words. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then again, he says, Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And 3:7, do not marvel that I said, you must be born again. And that's, I just want to emphasize it and help us to understand it. You can't just fix, like, okay, let me go back a step. We have from Adam an old nature that we inherited. It's the sin nature, it's the flesh, it's the sin, it's the Bible talks a lot about. Then when we are born again, born of the Spirit, Jesus said, there's a new creation, a new nature, a new life that loves God. The old nature, the sin nature, loves this world and loves sin. That's what it is. You can't fix it. You can't just doctor it up a bit. It has to be put to death. It has to die. And that's what baptism is about, by the way. It has to die and be buried. Romans 6:1 says, as many of us as been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were buried with him through baptism into death. And then raised to live a new life, a new birth, a new creation. And that new creation loves God. That new nature loves the Word of God. That new nature, like I think back, and again, just because we've been talking about it a bit, to when first came to Christ. And then, you know, we've been smart like this all of our lives, because when God called us to the town of Marathorpe to pastor, as just like I hardly had even been saved, and we're going there to pastor, and they, you know, we did the thing you do, and they said yes, and we were going. So now we're moving with our little baby. It's January, and we're going to Marathorpe to pastor. And I'm excited. I'm a pastor. My friend looked at Marathorpe and said, why would you go there? And looked at that poor old beaten down church building and, why would you go there? We're called there. What do you mean, why would we go? It was joy. We come into town and the guy who was supposed to find a house hadn't found a house. So we pull in, Leonard helping us. We've walked these things together. Oh, there's no place to go. Okay, well, move into the back of the church and start. We're here. We're pastor. And excitement and joy in it, and full of zeal for the town and the people and the church. And then a little bit later, he's going to Swan Hills. He's probably told you some of that, but if you should hear the whole story. And I'm helping him move now into Swan Hills. And again, no place to go. The town is overrun with too many oil workers and there's no place to rent. And okay, doesn't matter. You call the Swan Hills. You move into the balcony of the town hall and live there for a while. This is the call. This is the life. And not crying the blues. We were excited about it. I like that. It's beautiful. So it's about a new nature that loves God and still loves God and still, like through life, loves the Word of God. That new nature in Christ, when we're born again, that new creation, Jesus said, my burden is not heavy, it's light. If we're living by the old nature's desires, and even if we are saved or whatever you call it, but if we're living according to the old nature and his desires, the burdens are overwhelming. They're horrible. Later I'll talk about first love and how it just becomes overbearing if it's not that new nature empowered by the Spirit in love with God and loves God's Word. And every new truth you learn, you love it because it's true and you want to embrace it. And if you have to put something to death to embrace it, you do. And you grow and you move and you walk. And that's life in Christ. And it enjoys life. That's enjoying life. Enjoy life, church. That's what it is. The new nature, Christ in us, the new birth, in love with God, in love with God's people, loving God's church, loving the work of the church. And I'll come to that in a minute, the work of it. The old nature cannot just be trained into becoming a new nature. And I'm tempted to mention some names, but I'm going to refuse because this could be taped and someone could hear it and then they'll really be mad at me. But I've watched people trying to do this Christian thing, but not born again, and it really doesn't work. That old nature tires out so fast. I think of a story, I think it was Billy Graham or somebody who told it, of a Christian, a born again Christian going on a cruise, and a sinner going on a cruise ship. And somehow they got mixed up. And the sinner went on the Christian cruise, and the born again guy went on the sinner cruise. And both thought they'd gone to hell. They both hated it. Because that old nature is not going to love sitting in here, or they'd be sitting in here. They don't love what we were talking about this morning, worshiping God and just in love with God and blessing each other and seeing someone come for prayer and seeing God touch them. And that doesn't mean a thing to the old nature. But the new in Christ loves the things of God, and we walk with God and grow up in it and expand it and put to death the old nature. It's everybody's experience is different, but we all have to be born again. There has to be a death, a burial, and a resurrection, and then a new life. And then as we walk with God, you learn to recognize that old nature in me when it's motivating me to jealousy, to anger, to lust, to hatred, to whatever, pride, those ugly things that bring damage to us, to our family, and to our church, and to the world. By the Spirit, we recognize them. And the Bible says, Romans says, by the Spirit put to death those things. That's one of the works of the Holy Spirit. Not just shouting and doing stuff, but recognizing it and putting it to death in me so it doesn't motivate me and doesn't destroy my family and my marriage and my home and come into the church through me and bring trouble and distress. And that's that ugly old nature that is to be put to death. And the Bible throughout the New Testament tells us that. And then secondly, recognize the new nature, Christ in us, and feed it and grow it and bless it. That's why we need each other, to provoke each other to good works and to bless and teach and help and encourage and rebuke and correct. And we need the Word of God constantly building us so that that new grows up and not stay a little baby, but it becomes mature and fruitful. The desires, attitudes, and motivations from within have to change. That's where born again happens. A new creation with new desires, new attitudes, new motivations. And again, I go back to my early days as a brand new believer. And I would meet up with old friends in Black Falls that we used to go to the bar with and drink and fight. And they would say, what are you doing? I'm in Bible college. Yeah, sure you are. No, I really am. Yeah, blah, 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 swear. No, I'm serious. I am. What? Why? What? And then they kind of wanted to walk away. And then I would be talking to my new friends in Christ in the church and just mention some little thing about a few months back. And they'd, what? Why? It's two different worlds. And you don't want to live in both. Step out of one. It's a desire change. It's not hard. Jesus said it's light. We have gone to Marathorpe, gone to Zambia. Then God called us from Zambia to the beautiful, wonderful nation of Ethiopia. And each time it would seem really like that's going to be hard. It's not hard. It's light in Christ. The new nature loves it. I think of the time when David was in the king David was surrounded by enemies, and he said, oh, if I could only get a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem. And his men heard that, broke through the enemy lines at risk of their life, got water from Bethlehem, broke back through the enemy lines, came to their king and said, here's water from the well of Bethlehem because you wanted it. And David said, this water is like the blood of my men. I can't just drink it. I'll pour it out before the Lord as an offering to God. Like it was a holy, blessed, these men for their king. That's how I want to live. I really want to live for my king. You want it? Then I want to do that. And it's fulfilling in ways you can't describe. If you love me, Jesus said, you'll obey me and you'll keep my commandments. Paul said, we make it our aim to please him, and it's not burdensome. By the Spirit of God, the wisdom, if I had time, and I know you've done it before, so I don't even need to, but the wonder of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to walk this walk. Not silly stuff that sometimes gets associated with the Holy Spirit, but real, like Isaiah 11:2 talks about the Spirit of wisdom. Spirit of understanding, spirit of counsel, the spirit of power, the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of the fear of God. Like the Holy Spirit builds quality into your life to walk this walk and live this life and be fruitful in what you're called to do. And if you read it and study, you'll see it's an amazing thing. Now, towards closing, the new nature enjoys the work. And I know in 21st century Western church, work is like a swear word. No, we're not of works, we're of faith, we're of grace. Okay, read the Bible. And you'll see. The new nature enjoys the work. Here's an important lesson, and it'll be helpful to you if you understand it. In Revelation 3, Jesus talking to the church of Ephesus, And there's seven churches there, and the letters from Jesus to each of them are really critical letters that we should definitely be reading regularly. And he says to the church in Ephesus, you know, they're doing everything. They're working hard. They're a good church. And then he says, but I have this against you. You have abandoned the love you had at the first. And I've always kind of just, and it's probably partly true, thought that means Jesus has to be first in my life. And he does, of course. That's another story for another day. But that's not what this is actually saying. He said, I have this against you. You've abandoned the love you had at the first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent, and do the works you did at the first. If not, I will come to you and remove the lampstand from its place unless you repent. There's something really rich here, and there's probably more to it, but the simple, rich truth is, enjoy the work. I know it can be burdensome on a Sunday morning when you have to serve and you were up late the night before, and there can be moments of, boy, I sure wish I didn't have to do this. But that's just the old tiredness of the human condition. But in general and overall, enjoy the work. Enjoy the work together. Enjoy when God calls you to Marathorpe. Leonard came to preach a couple Sundays after we got there, and we're staying in the back of the church, and his mattress where he slept was behind the pulpit in that old church. So he had to get up before service and get out of there. But it was joy. Really, I'm serious. It's so beautiful. So what he says is, if the love has gone out of the work, then it just becomes burdensome. And he said, if you don't repent and go back to that love for the work of God and the kingdom of God and the things of God, then the candlestick is removed, and that simply means the light goes out of it. It's not joy anymore. It's not fun anymore. It's not, something's gone out of it. If the love goes out, the joy goes out. And the light goes out. And all that's left is work. Not work for kingdom, not work with the Holy Spirit filling, not work with seeing the fruit and the blessing and encouraging each other, but just work. And the light is gone. And we have the privilege, or whatever you call it, of traveling a lot in Canada, visiting a lot of churches. And you can see very quickly when the light has gone out. And it's just work. And the pastor tells a joke and nobody laughs. And everybody's complaining about something because it's not serving their purposes quite right. If the love goes out, the joy goes out, the anointing goes, and all you're left with is human effort, tiring, boring, and unfruitful. And I don't want that ever. When that happens, shoot me. I guess that's why, like Val and I in our ministry and life all through, we have loved working with young couples, young believers, young, like Mamusha was 20 or something, or 22 when he took over the Bible school. Young, because they have that zeal and energy. But to the old, to us, Leonard and Brian and you guys, he says, remember where you came from and repent and go back and do the works you did at the first. And enjoy it. And it's life, it's light, it's anointing, it's blessing. And I want to keep that for life. So when you think about Swan Hills, we were talking and just like, why would we do that really? Like, why not at least get a house before you go or something? Like, remember where you came from and go back there and live there. Remember and the joy of it. And if you're not born again, sorry for you, man. Like, it's hard work trying to be a Christian. But if you are, let that new nature rise up, grow, and be filled with the Holy Spirit and mature in Christ, and it loves everything about God. And that's what we want. A new nature, empowered by the Holy Spirit, pleasing God. And you need to know His Word to know how to please Him, or you can't please Him. Under the mighty hand of God. That's where you want to live and bear fruit in your life. And I don't care where God takes you to, what job you have to do. Living there is a place of fruitfulness, joy, and light and life. And I don't ever want to move away from that. Amen.